Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
This crowd wants the inning to end. Here's the 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. Leiter strikes out Waters.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse. Let's see what the Cubs and Sox are doing in the offseason on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And we are back, hour two of Inside the Clubhouse, alongside Bruce Levine. I'm Mike Esposito in for David Haw today. And that highlight coming in, one of the many big moments that our next guest pitched in for the Chicago Cubs during the 2023 season. Bruce, we head on out to our guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois.
A nice treat to have my friend Mark Leiter Jr. on from the Chicago Cubs to close out the new year on Inside the Clubhouse. Mark, Bruce, and Mike with you. Happy New Year to you and your family, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you so much. You're looking at an outstanding year for you and your teammates, but it was a challenging year, especially the month of September. When you went home, you sat down, and you thought it out. What did you think when you looked at the last 3 weeks of the season compared to the way that you guys had played, and what did you come up with?
Well, I think overall, like it was a good year overall. Like obviously, like the end goal didn't go our way, but I think like the way that we had to fight probably from like June was somewhat of a playoff push in its own right. And like, we didn't get to go to the playoffs. Absolutely. Like that's the main goal. And that's what we're striving for. And that, you know, if you fall short of that, there's really no win in the year. But I believe that like the experience that we gained from kind of having that 4 months of like pretty intense baseball where like, you know, we're a couple losses away from maybe like not even staying with the same guys and, you know, playing really good baseball going into September. It was a good experience to learn from. And I absolutely think that the things that went wrong in September for a lot of us were just, I see us being able to fix those weaknesses this upcoming season, and mainly just from experience.
Yeah, and Mark, certainly Cubs fans enjoyed most of the roller coaster ride with you guys last year. And you mentioned it starting, you know, when I'll take it from kind of when Belly came back from injury. You guys were one of the hottest teams in baseball right up until some of the injury stuff the last few weeks really, I think, kind of affected you. But for you personally, I know a guy who came in maybe unsure of where you fit in at the start of the season. It had to be very gratifying for you to get used as often and in such important settings as you did during the 23 season for the Cubs.
Yeah, it really was. It was something. It was the first time I got to go home in an off season and just say like, I'm going to be a relief pitcher this year, and I'm going to just, you know, find a way to be the best at that specific thing. And I feel like I did a good job at that. Definitely pitched a lot. And it was one of those things where, like, just the experience of kind of knowing what it's going to take and, you know, the right recovery methods and just kind of, like, you know, knowing when, like, you need a couple days off and instead of, like, just kind of burning the candle the whole time, and then you kind of run out of it at the end. I think it's absolutely one of those things where you get better with time. You get better with experience. So, you know, last year was really the first year coast to coast for me in the big leagues, and as a relief pitcher and getting to pitch in all those big moments and, you know, stepping up to handle those moments and situations. I'm looking forward to this upcoming season because I truly believe the experience takes you to another level.
Mark Leiter Jr. joining us in Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes on a Saturday morning. And Mark, when you look at a new manager in 2024 for the Chicago Cubs, what were your thoughts when you heard that Ross was replaced? And what can you say about his time with you, as well as looking forward to a new manager?
I would just say, like, I think like everybody else, like, you're just kind of following from home. And, you know, we weren't really mentioned. So it was a pretty big surprise that just based on the end of the season, they were saying that we weren't going to make a change or anything like that. But I couldn't be more excited to have Craig come in and, you know, kind of lead us with the experience that he's had. Like I mentioned, like, I think experience is such a big thing, and to be able to learn from him, who has been manager for a while and has done such a great job. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, how he takes us to a different level and, you know, kind of gets the most out of us. And I would say that I'm definitely looking forward to this year.
Mark, I want to take you back to something you were talking about when you talk about being ready and being used a lot. 69 games pitched last year. It certainly seemed like even more than that for those of us, you know, watching each of the games. It's like, well, there's Leiter up again, because it seemed like, and I'm joking, of course, but that you pitched almost every day. As a professional athlete, when you're trying to keep your body ready, what goes into that for you last year when you were prepping to try to go out there every day if called upon? What does that entail, keeping your body ready?
For me, it was a lot of recovery stuff this past season, which was a big adjustment. In my previous times, like, I had never been used like that as a relief pitcher. So, like, a lot of my career was a starting pitcher, which is a pretty easy routine in my opinion because it's so consistent and the same. And then my time previous as a relief pitcher, I was more of like a long reliever, and I got the chance to be in the second half in 22. I got to do some of the stuff I did last year, but it was only for half the season. Going into it for a full season, What you realize is just like those back to backs where you're pitching, you know, back to back days and like three out of fours, just kind of like understanding like where to save your energy, where to use it. You know, your warm up in the bullpen specifically with your throws starts to change a little bit so that you can you know, save bullets, as we like to say. But like, I would just say that it's just like trial and error kind of a thing. Like, you try a couple things to see if they give you any relief or if they give you any momentum, and if you like it, you kind of find your routine. So as the year went on, like I don't necessarily think it's like you get tired, you know, it's just kind of like you get a little worn down. So it's kind of understanding like when you're not at your best and how to navigate when you're not at your best, and then how to get yourself back to that 100% as much as you can.
Mark, the fascinating thing to me was to watch you when you didn't have your splitter and you didn't have your good stuff and battling to get people out and doing it most of the time. How challenging was that for you, especially dealing with the injuries that you had, particularly toward the end of the season, and just going out there and feeling like, okay, I'm competing, trying to win. They need me to get outs, but I don't have anything today.
Yeah, I think I think that was a big learning lesson for me this year, because I had so much success for a lot of the year, just kind of relying on doing the same thing over and over again. And, you know, as some things kind of started to go on towards the end of the season, like not having my, you know, command one day, or my best, you know, action on my breaking ball a certain day, I felt like I could have probably adjusted. I have other pitches, whether they grade out good or not. Like, if you mix it up, you can throw anything at guys and keep them off balance. And I think there was a couple of times where, like, I maybe was a little off or whatever, and I chose to just kind of, like, try and hammer down the same exact thing instead of making that adjustment, which is something that I look forward to for this season, just kind of, you know, understanding if your command of the split's not there that day, like, there's no point in bouncing four in a row and kind of getting yourself in a bad spot. Like, find a way to just, you know, get a ground out. You know, that's the name of the game, is getting outs. And I think, especially in the new era of baseball, I think sometimes we get caught up in, like, getting the strikeouts, because that's what you're kind of coming in to do. But in a lot of these one-run, two-run games, like, your job is just to not let anybody on base. So making that adjustment kind of came to an abrupt stop, I would say. Like, once it got bad, it was just, like, all at once. So it was hard to make that adjustment on the fly. But looking back at it, that's probably the biggest adjustment that I'm looking forward to making this upcoming season.
A few more minutes with Mark Leiter Jr. from the Cubs pitching staff. And Mark, you were an easy guy last year for Cubs fans to root for, in addition to all the on-the-field success. You've obviously battled your way to, you know, everything that you've earned. You've been in the game for 10 years now, with some time at Philly and some time in Toronto. But really, last season, your best season. Can you talk about some of the grind? I mean, you're a guy, you obviously come from a very famous baseball family. You've been successful throughout your career. But it hasn't always been easy for you. How can you talk about, or what can you tell us about kind of the grind and kind of the work you have to put into to kind of get there?
I would say it's just kind of always been something where I was, like, undersized and didn't have, like, a, you know, a big time fastball. So it was really learning how to pitch. And once I started throwing, you know, like, into the low 90s, like, I had already learned how to pitch. So a lot of things kind of took off from there. And then getting my opportunity as, like, a non-prospect throughout Philly, just going out there competing. And, you know, I believe I'm a good pitcher. I believe I'm very, you know, capable of doing this. And just because other people didn't see it at that time doesn't change the fact. Like, by the end of the season, I was always one of the best pitchers on the team. And I was fortunate in the minor leagues with Philly, where we had, like, playoff teams every year. By the end of the season, I had always positioned myself to, you know, be the guy pitching the first game. And that was something that I took pride in. And just as far as getting to the major leagues, like, sometimes your opportunity comes in different ways. I was a starting pitcher, and I got my opportunity as a relief pitcher. So it was kind of like learning how to be a reliever a little bit. But then every time I did well, I'd get put back in the rotation, battling some injuries after that, and then getting my chance with the Cubs to kind of, like, find a way to stick. I think at the end of the day, like, it's just about self-belief, determination, and, like, just understanding that, like, you're just kind of – you put the blinders on and you just keep going forward. It's just one of those things where, like, I don't know. At the end of the day, I really believe that, like, we all keep getting better. And a lot of the stuff in this game, it doesn't really matter, like, how old you are as far as an age. It's a matter of experience. So the more experience you get, the better you should be and more prepared you should be to have success. And I truly believe that, like, just staying the course and getting that opportunity to succeed, a lot of times it's just based on the opportunity that you're being given.
Mark, when you look at the Cubs' offseason so far, they're one team that hasn't really made any moves to speak of, a couple minor league moves. Every other team has either signed a free agent for the 26-man roster or made a trade. Do you have any concerns about that as a player? I know you stay in your own lane and you're happy to be a player on this team, but when you look at the Bellinger factor, how hard are you rooting for them to try and bring him back?
Man, I would say, like, I think everybody's rooting to have Belly back. He's a great player, and you know, he's a big part of what we were doing. And I think, like, you know, you mentioned that we haven't signed anyone. I think if you sign Belly back or so, like, I think all of a sudden, like, we have the same team we have last year, and I think a lot of people feel really good about that going into it this upcoming season. As far as not making any moves yet, like, I would say it's still very early and there's still a lot of good players out there, and, like, I don't think that I don't think the season's won in December, so I think that when the moves are made, and I think, you know, Jed and Carter do a great job, and they're probably having they're excited, probably, I would imagine, you know, and it's going to get going here whenever it does. But come spring training, the team that they put out there, I feel very confident that we're going to have a good shot to win a lot of baseball games and play a lot of good baseball late into the season.
And Mark, as you head into spring training here, and you know, your bullpen returning some of the guys that we got to know and love last year, and, you know, yourself and Adbert certainly on the back end of there, you got to feel pretty good about what you'll have returning in that bullpen.
Absolutely. I know I've talked a lot about the experience of it, but for pretty much all the guys we had out there, it was really our first time doing a full season. Full season in the big leagues as relief pitchers, whatever the circumstance was, it was a lot of guys doing their first full-time opportunity in the big leagues as relievers. And I truly believe that, like, we had a lot of good moments, and we had a lot of we really stayed together as a group out there as much as possible. And I really see, like, guys taking even a bigger step forward this upcoming season. I mean, I've always said, like, I don't expect somebody to have their best season in their first season. So, you know, I'm looking for all of us to take another step forward and kind of continue to grow together, which was a lot of fun last year, considering we're all in a very similar place. And, you know, you saw the year that each guy had, and, you know, the way Merriweather had his year as well. A lot of guys helped out towards the end too.
Mark, you and I became friends last year, and we developed a trust for each other. Talk a little bit about the professional athletes dealing with the media, knowing who to trust, maybe being able to be always available, but also at the same time protecting yourself and being a good teammate.
Yeah, we absolutely hit it off, and I always enjoy talking to you, Bruce. Like, your experience is something that I enjoy learning from, and also just having good conversation about baseball. I think we think very similarly about a lot of things about the game. And, you know, I kind of enjoy just kind of, like, your point of view sometimes. You brought a point of view that would sometimes say something that I wasn't thinking about, or, you know, whatever it may be. And I always enjoy those kinds of conversations. As far as, like, handling the media and stuff like that, like, I think you should always be careful, but I tend to be pretty honest with people. And, you know, I think, like, I don't really have too much to say that's going to get me burned. And if I do get burned, then more than likely it's just somebody had a difference of opinion than me, and I still probably think I'm right, so I'm okay with it. Yeah.
Last thing for me, Mark, and I mentioned your family, and, you know, for baseball people like myself who've been watching the game for a long time, it's cool to see, you know, your dad, Mark, your uncle, Al, pitched in the majors. You have a cousin, Jack, who's one of the young, hot prospects in the game. He's with the Rangers organization. But as a as a fan of baseball and as a student of the game, it's got to be pretty cool, even for you as a guy playing it, to say, hey, you know, this is pretty awesome that my family's had an impact on the game.
Yeah, and my cousin Cam and my uncle Kurt. My uncle Kurt played Double A. My cousin Cam's down at Florida State right now, and he'll probably be a high draft pick as well. So we got more coming on top of it, which is pretty awesome. It's been an amazing life, honestly. Like, I'm extremely fortunate to have grown up like going to major league fields and like then getting to do it for myself and just. Kind of, my uncle getting inducted into the Mets Hall of Fame this past year, my uncle Al, some really cool things and like some things that like you're just really proud of, like what we've all accomplished in our lives, and like it's pretty cool to go to some family stuff, and you know, you're just kind of all hanging out and talking baseball, and it's like it's the best baseball you can talk. I mean, the experiences, whether it's service time, whether it's World Series experience, whether it's, you know, it's all of it. And it's really cool to see Jack getting his chance now and, you know, really finishing strong last season. And hopefully we'll see him in the big leagues this upcoming year. And my cousin Cam developing right now. So to be able to lean on the older ones and to watch the younger ones below me grow, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm extremely blessed to have that opportunity.
Mark, Mike and I really appreciate your time. Wish you a happy new year. The one thing that I enjoyed the most about you is watching the determination and the perseverance of a guy that spent parts of 9 seasons in the minor leagues just to continue to get an opportunity to pitch in the major leagues and following his dreams. So, from that, thank you for that. It was fun watching you, and it's going to be fun watching you in the future. Have a great new year. Look forward to seeing you at the Cub Convention and in spring training.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to this upcoming year as well.
Take care, Mark. Thank you.
That's Mark Leiter Jr. Great talking with him. It's always fun finding him in the clubhouse, as you mentioned, and certainly one of the breakout success stories for the Cubs last year.
It's a great story, Mike. It's one of those stories when you look at guys that keep pushing through 9 years, 10 years. Some of them, you know, like Wisdom, the same way, mm-hmm. and they make it. And they're solid people. They're a great story of making it to the major leagues, but also just – looking at the work ethic is something that really means a lot to me. Watching these guys
yep.
following their passion, whether it's successful or not, to the highest level.
Yep. And you talked about it, and we talked about it during the interview. He's 32 right now, heading into his age 33 season next year, and really last year, the first year that he really had a full season in the big. So it's great to see, and he was certainly one of the Cubs' best relief pitchers last year.
Mike, some people will not like our next segment, but we're going to do it anyways.
It's never stopped us
before.
It's
called Stay or Go. Listen about what White Sox player we have in mind to stay or go in 2024.
Yep, it's a big one, and that'll give you your clue. We'll do that when we return. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito in for David today. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse. Let's see what the Cubs and Sox are doing in the offseason on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito back on Inside the Clubhouse. We will do Stay or Go next segment. We want to get to your calls as several of you have held patiently during our very fun conversation with Mark Leiter Jr. So we want to get to you, the Inside the Clubhouse listener, 312-644-6767. Remy Martin and 670 The Score want to give you a chance to play hoops on the United Center Court of Dreams. Look for the Remy display at your local retailer and scan the code to enter. Details at 670thescore.com/contest. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. And out to the phones we go, Bruce. We start in Queens, and Ben wants to talk a little Cubs on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Ben.
Guys, Happy New Year. Love the show. Listen every week. Bruce, I wanted to piggyback on something you said not only today but the past 2 years. The Cubs are bereft of power. The Cubs are also bereft of star power. Now, the Cubs analytics, you know, they didn't like Cody Ballinger's season, nor did StatCast, nor does Dan Zimborski or Ben Clemens on FanGraphs. However, you put it succinctly that Cody Ballinger made changes, and the Cubs analytics staff, they're being disingenuous because he did this with Dustin Kelly. He came early in the season. He worked on a different approach. He sacrificed a little bit of power to be able to hit over 300. That's called good hitting. We just went through the best Cubs era ever. The Tinker Evers to Chance Cubs, the Joe Madden Cubs are the best Cubs ever. Anthony Rizzo was the captain. Part of his hitting approach was a two-strike approach. They had to disassemble that team because the players wouldn't follow that. Now they finally got a guy who's an MVP caliber player to follow them, and they don't like it. I don't get it. Cody Bellinger, they're going to have to end up signing him because you're going to be rolling the dice on his prime. Hoskins and Chapman are age 31. You're going for the decline. I think you have to get Bellinger. He's your insurance. PCA, I don't have any doubts about PCA. Jonathan Mayo thinks he's going to be the NL Rookie of the Year. So your thoughts, gentlemen. I love you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ben, well, appreciate you.
For me, everything you say is accurate, and thank you for that call. Mike, the fact that a Bellinger can play two positions means that you have to be a little bit more flexible on bringing him back. Again, my perception, it's 5 years, 6 year option, somewhere between $25 million, $27 million a year. I think it's about as far as the Cubs will go. An opt out for him would be fair, but he gives you so much assurance at first base in center field as a left-handed power hitter. I'll say it again, as a left-handed power hitter. That is something that Jed Hoyer has concentrated on his entire career of having good balance in a lineup. Right now, the Chicago Cubs do not have good balance in their lineup as far as impactful left-handed hitting. So let's add that to the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Above-average center fielder, gold glove first baseman, great base runner, hit 300 this year, had the most RBI of any player in baseball from the All-Star game on, and an impactful left-handed hitter in the middle of the order. Right now, the Cubs do not have a 3-4 hitter of any impact for their lineup. Suzuki looks like a really good number 5. Morel eventually could grow into a 3-4 hitter with his power and his bat speed. No question about it. But to rely on that to happen would be a little bit of fool's gold. So with that in mind, being smart about handling the Bellinger situation, but at the same time, not giving into 7-8 years that he'll want or that the agent will want, that's the key to the negotiation.
I agree with what the caller said, what Ben said, and I definitely, to me, if you put Belly and Hoskins in that 3-4 slot that we've talked about, that's a successful offseason for the Chicago Cubs. Back to the phones we go, and out in Willowbrook, Owen wants to talk some socks on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Owen.
Hi, guys. Hey, you know, as a lifelong Sox fan, I kind of quit on them over the last few years. But I actually kind of paid attention a little bit what Getz has done. And I know they're not, you can't expect much from him, but what I do like, you guys talked about Maldonado. I like the fact that he's improved his defense up the middle, but from the plate on out. I like the fact that they went out and got a former shortstop, a former all-star shortstop. Nicky Lopez got a nice glove, and obviously Robertson center. But one of the things I think they still need to address, which they never have, I'm tired of seeing middle infielders play right field. I think for a gap, they could go out and look at a guy like an Adam Duvall for a gap year, probably sign him relatively cheap. And he might offer a little bit of protection for Roberts in the four spot. Right now, projected, it looks like he got Mankata at the four spot, which would be a, I mean, that'd just be a throwaway year having him at number four. So I think at least try to do something to address right field instead of seeing middle infielders. And then all of a sudden, you might have a good defensive outfielder because Adam Duvall played center field for the Red Sox. He only played 100 games last year, and you could probably, you know, you could probably alternate him with, you know, Gavin Sheets. So I don't know if that's a move the Sox could make, but they have to still address right field, I think.
Well, you're right, and thank you for the call. Mike, they also have to get a better year out of Benintendi, okay?
Yep.
That was not a good year. That's not why you gave him a long-term contract. That was, you know, and again, nothing against him personally. I know he tried his best, but that was a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, you need production from two corners, left field and right field. You need production from second base. You need production from shortstop. There's a lot of places that you're hoping to get production from. And I agree with the caller on shoring up the defense with Robert, a gold glove, and had been a gold glover before and continues to be one of the best defenders in baseball. And then you have Lopez and DeJong up the middle, and you have Maldonado and Stassi to bring along the young catcher as well. So from that perspective, they are trying to shore up games and make them more efficient in the field, but there's still a long way to go.
No doubt about it. And Benintendi, as you were talking, I pull up his stats. In 21, he had 17 homers and had 73 RBIs with Kansas City. He's hit 20 once in his career, but last year, in 151 games, only 5 home runs and 45 RBIs, and I know there are other things with which to look at stats, but the OPS was only 682. The WAR was 0.2.
It was just an awful year.
You can't
sugarcoat
it,
okay?
Nope.
They got to get a bounce back year from him. Start looking at other players coming up, just replacing everybody. In our next segment, you know, we'll talk a little bit about what they might be able to do.
Yeah, we're going to try to trade one of the most popular guys, probably the most popular guy on the South Side when we return. So we will do that in our Stay or Go segment, more of your calls as well. Are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 58 right here on The Score? This is your chance. We've launched a new contest called Score Big for Your Business, where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 58 from Westwood One. Log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Your deadline to enter is January 19th. Stay or go when we return with one of the South Side's finest. It's Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito on Inside the Clubhouse on The Score.
Who should stay and who should go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
With Bruce Levine and David Haw on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Last segment for us for today, Inside the Clubhouse on The Score. Mike Esposito in for David and Bruce. It is time now for us to try to trade, or do we want to trade, the White Sox best player? And that man is center fielder Luis Robert.
Do you really want to trade him, Mike? Or are you thinking that you're going to get so much talent back for Luis Robert, knowing where you're at as a team right now, that at age 26, he can be a part of the rebuild and part of the championship run, knowing you have him under contract control for this year, next year, 26 and 27, at a grand total of $68 million. Sounds like chump change right now for arguably one of the top five or seven players in Major League Baseball. Guy coming off of a 38 home run season, a guy who did not win a gold glove, but I don't know why. And he's making $13 million in 24, $15 million next year, $20 million in 26, $20 million in 27, which are both club options before he's a free agent. So 4 full years of contract control for, again, $68 million. What a deal. But again, what can you get back for him to make you a contender quicker?
So to me, I am a stay on Luis Robert because of what you just said, specifically that not just the financial stuff, but he's one of the best players in baseball. He's the face of your franchise at this point. You've got to have talent in order to pull yourself out of this. We mentioned, you know, you expect better and you need better from Benintendi. But to me, Robert is your cornerstone and you build around him. I'm a go on Cease because of all the reasons we talked about with Bob Nightingale and the haul you can get for him. But to tear it down to the studs again, Bruce, I don't think so. I think within that window you just gave, the Sox will be back to being a more contending team. And to me, you don't just give away, not that they would give him away, but to me, Luis Robert is a keep. He is the guy that you're going to build around.
You know, this was his best year.
Yep.
He is arguably the top two or three center fielders in the game defensively. He had 38 home runs without any people getting on base. He didn't drive in 100 because there was nobody getting on base. Yep. It's hard to find any flaws in the ability of Luis Robert other than he's probably 2 years away from playing meaningful games for the Chicago White Sox. With that in mind, he is getting paid, but the pay, and again, give Rick Hahn and Ken Williams credit for signing him to this long-term deal that looks like absolute nothing, $13 million, $15 million, $20 million, $20 million for a superstar player. It's a terrific contract. There's no reason to give him away, Mike. The only way you trade Luis Robert is if somebody blows you away with two top young pitchers, two great position players, and say, this is the player we need to win a World Series. Now, if you believed in Cubs and Sox, this would be a monster deal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would.
Do the Cubs have that type of farm system? Do they have the players? Would it take Ben Brown, Cade Horton, and also Armstrong, and would that be enough for the White Sox as far as legitimate top-of-the-tier players in the Cub organization to get conversations going?
And you talk about savings from the money side for the Cubs in terms of, because of the dollar figures you just outlined, compared to what you're talking about on free agency versus what you would be talking about for Robert, that would be, to me, a huge win for the Cubs. I don't think the Sox are trading him. I think he's the one guy that they're probably not going to trade. But you mentioned, you know, last year, his career year, 38 home runs, 80 RBIs in 145 games. The defense is great. The WAR, a 5.1 WAR, certainly by a mile, the highest WAR on the White Sox, definitely the most valuable on the White Sox. And you can argue without whom, how much worse would they have been? I don't know. I mean, after last year, I'm making a joke of it, but quite clearly you need a guy like Luis Robert around if you're the Chicago White Sox.
Again, the practicality of where they're at, mm-hmm, and his peak, okay? So he's 26. He'll be 27 in August. There's still plenty of peak time left in his career. There's 4 years left before he's a free agent. Again, one of the more favorable contracts in baseball at this point for a superstar player, and you have 4 years left. Yes, you can build. Some of the text line people don't believe in the organization, don't believe that he should be held on to because they don't trust what they've seen so far. I believe that you have to listen to any type of trade where you're at right now. And unless you're totally blown away by it, you cannot trade a superstar. It's the equivalent for the White Sox of trading Mike Trout in his prime, which he is no more. That would be this type of trade. So you have to look at it that way. There's nothing that Luis Robert can't do other than have to prove to these other teams he can play 150 games every year.
Yeah. A 708 texter talks about the Nationals trading Soto, then why can't the Sox trade Robert? And I understand the premise. The thing with Soto is that Washington knew that they were not going to, you know, pony up the huge 10-year, whatever, however many hundreds of millions of dollars contract.
They were only with 2 years of contract control left, so they wanted to make it optimum that they make a trade that they get back impact players. And they got back some really, really good players that are going to be a part of that next good Washington team. The shortstop alone, Abrams, is outstanding.
Yes, he is.
And continues to be moved toward being a star. But that in mind, you have 4 years of Luis Robert. So you understand why people would say, is there any reason? And the reason is somebody blows you away with some of the great young players in baseball, and you make the move.
I know somebody who's going to tell us exactly what to do with Luis Robert, and that is our buddy Ron from the South Side, who joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Let me first just say Happy New Year to you all. You know I enjoy you all every Saturday. Two things real quick. Bruce, and like you said, you really would have to be overwhelmed. But I think so much is based on this Cease trade. Because if he can bring some players, it's almost based on how these prospects or players going to bring back. So when do you think the White Sox will be good? Because you think it's going to be past 2 years, then you trade. But, guys, I researched something on Luis Robert a couple weeks ago, and I hope I'm correct, that he is the only White Sox player that has won a Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger as being a White Sox player. And I looked at all the players who won the Golden Glove from Aparicio and all. They didn't win a Silver Slug. Then I looked at Frank's numbers and some of the sluggers. They didn't win. The only person I thought it would have been close that was pretty versatile was Robin Ventura because he was very good. So based on that guy, and he plays center field, so you're going to – I mean, it's going to be – but for me, I don't want to see him get traded, but if it had to. But again – I did research that information. Of all the, you know, be a good player, the Sox had never had a player to be able to play offense and defense like Luis Robert. Thanks. Let me get that in, guys.
Appreciate it, Ron. Happy New Year to you, too. We always enjoy hearing from you.
So, Mike, you can say you're going to get 8 to 10 major league quality players in trading Cease and Robert. Are you going to do it at this point? Are you just throwing your hands up and saying, you know what? The quickest way for us as an organization to come back is by astutely trading these two guys.
I mean, and this is where I'm at, because with Cease, you have the 2 years of cost control that is extremely valuable on the market. You know you're going to get a haul. For Cease, you also know that you're not going to re-sign him to a big money deal, because when have the White Sox ever signed a pitcher to a big money free agent deal? You're not going to extend him. You're not going
Boris
to sign
client.
Him. You're not. So you already know. I mean, you know without knowing, right? To me, that is why you automatically move to trade Cease. Robert, with the 4 years of control through his prime, I'm keeping Luis Robert. I'm getting my haul for Dylan Cease, and I'm going to start rebuilding there. That's my plan.
Look, it's easy to go on the radio and talk about a trade where it sounds like pie in the sky, but with the White Sox front office being what it is right now, you have to consider all these things, okay? Because they went from being one of the top teams in the American League in 2021 to being a team that has to rebuild a whole farm system and have very little at the major league level to count on. So you have to be honest about where you're at, and you have to be honest about where you want to go and how quickly you want to do it.
100%. I agree with what you're saying, and it'll be an interesting offseason here the last few months here to see what the White Sox do with
Cease. We have people to thank. Tyler, great job producing the show. Fantastic. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Mark Leiter of the Chicago Cubs. People can follow me on Twitter, MLB Bruce Levine. On our website, writing Cubs and Sox, 670thescore.com. Mike, Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners out there. Look forward to talking to you again in 2024.
Absolutely. Appreciate being here, Bruce. Again, thanks to Tyler Farengold for producing. Happy New Year to everyone out there in Inside the Clubhouse and Score listener land. And coming up next, Saturday Suckage. The one and only Steve Rosenblum will join you. He will bring you down like nobody else, but you'll want to stick around and enjoy that. That's coming up next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Who should stay and who should go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
With Bruce Levine and David Haw on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
Last segment for us for today, Inside the Clubhouse on The Score. Mike Esposito in for David and Bruce. It is time now for us to try to trade, or do we want to trade, the White Sox best player. And that man is center fielder Luis Robert.
You really want to trade him, Mike? Or are you thinking that you're going to get so much talent back for Luis Robert, knowing where you're at as a team right now, that at age 26, he can be a part of the rebuild and part of the championship run, knowing you have him under contract control for this year, next year, 26 and 27, at a grand total of $68 million. Sounds like chump change right now for arguably one of the top five or seven players in Major League Baseball. Guy coming off of a 38 home run season, a guy who did not win a gold glove, but I don't know why. And he's making $13 million in 24, $15 million next year, $20 million in 26, $20 million in 27, which are both club options before he's a free agent. So 4 full years of contract control for, again, $68 million. What a deal. But again, what can you get back for him to make you a contender quicker?
So to me, I am a stay on Luis Robert because of what you just said, specifically that not just the financial stuff, but he's one of the best players in baseball. He's the face of your franchise at this point. You've got to have talent in order to pull yourself out of this. We mentioned, you know, you expect better and you need better from Benintendi, but to me, Robert is your cornerstone and you build around him. I'm a go on Cease because of all the reasons we talked about with Bob Nightingale and the haul you can get for him. But to tear it down to the studs again, Bruce, I don't think so. I think within that window you just gave, the Sox will be back to being a more contending team. And to me, you don't just give away, not that they would give him away, but to me, Luis Robert is a keep. He is the guy that you're going to build around.
You know, this was his best year.
Yep.
He is arguably the top two or three center fielders in the game defensively. He had 38 home runs without any people getting on base. He didn't drive in 100 because there was nobody getting on base. Yep. It's hard to find any flaws in the ability of Luis Robert other than he's probably 2 years away from playing meaningful games for the Chicago White Sox. With that in mind, he is getting paid, but the pay, and again, give Rick Hahn and Ken Williams credit for signing him to this long-term deal that looks like absolute nothing, $13 million, $15 million, $20 million, $20 million for a superstar player. It's a terrific contract. There's no reason to give him away, Mike. The only way you trade Luis Robert is if somebody blows you away with two top young pitchers, two great position players, and say, this is the player we need to win a World Series. Now, if you believed in Cubs and Sox, this would be a monster deal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would.
Do the Cubs have that type of farm system? Do they have the players? Would it take Ben Brown, Cade Horton, and also Armstrong? And would that be enough for the White Sox as far as legitimate top of the tier players in the Cub organization to get conversations going?
And you talk about savings from the money side for the Cubs in terms of, because of the dollar figures you just outlined, compared to what you're talking about on free agency versus what you would be talking about for Robert, that would be, to me, a huge win for the Cubs. I don't think the Sox are trading him. I think he's the one guy that they're probably not going to trade. But you mentioned, you know, last year, his career year, 38 home runs, 80 RBIs in 145 games. The defense is great. The WAR, a 5.1 WAR, certainly by a mile the highest WAR on the White Sox, definitely the most valuable on the White Sox. And you can argue, without whom, how much worse would they have been? I don't know. I mean, after last year, I'm making a joke of it, but quite clearly you need a guy like Luis Robert around if you're the Chicago White Sox.
Again, the practicality of where they're at, mm-hmm. and his peak, okay? So he's 26. He'll be 27 in August. There's still plenty of peak time left in his career. There's 4 years left before he's a free agent. Again, one of the more favorable contracts in baseball, mm-hmm. at this point for a superstar player, and you have 4 years left. Yes, you can build. Some of the text line people don't believe in the organization, don't believe that he should be held on to because they don't trust what they've seen so far. I believe that you have to listen to any type of trade,
sure.
where you're at right now. And unless you're totally blown away by it, you cannot trade a superstar. It's the equivalent for the White Sox of trading Mike Trout in his prime, which he is no more. That would be this type of trade. So you have to look at it that way. There's nothing that Luis Robert can't do other than have to prove to these other teams he can play 150 games every year.
Yeah. A 708 texter talks about the Nationals trading Soto, then why can't the Sox trade Robert? And I understand the premise. The thing with Soto is that Washington knew that they were not going to, you know, pony up the huge 10-year, whatever, however many hundreds of millions of dollars contract.
They were only with 2 years of contract control left, so they wanted to make it optimum that they make a trade that they get back impact players. And they got back some really, really good players that are going to be a part of that next good Washington team. The shortstop alone,
yep.
Abrams, is outstanding.
Yes, he is.
And continues to be moved toward being a star. But that in mind, you have 4 years of Luis Robert. So you understand why people would say, is there any reason? And the reason is somebody blows you away with some of the great young players in baseball and you make the move.
I know somebody who's going to tell us exactly what to do with Luis Robert, and that is our buddy Ron from the South Side, who joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Let me first just say Happy New Year to you all. You know I enjoy you all every Saturday. Two things real quick. Bruce, and like you said, you really would have to be overwhelmed. But I think so much is based on this Cease trade. Because if he can bring some players, it's almost based on how these prospects or players going to bring back. So when do you think the White Sox will be good? Because you think it's going to be past 2 years, then you trade. But, guys, I researched something on Luis Robert a couple weeks ago, and I hope I'm correct, that he is the only White Sox player that has won a Gold Glove and a Silver Slugger as being a White Sox player. And I looked at all the players who did, won the Golden Glove from Aparicio and all. They didn't win a Silver Slugger. Then I looked at Frank's numbers and some of the sluggers. They didn't win. The only person I thought it would have been close that was pretty versatile was Robin Ventura, because he was very good. So based on that guy, and he plays center field, so you're going to – I mean, it's going to be – but for me, I don't want to see him get traded, but if it had to. But again – I did research that information. Of all the, you know, be a good player, the Sox had never had a player to be able to play offense and defense like Luis Robert. Thanks. Let me get that in, guys.
Appreciate it, Ron. Happy New Year to you, too. We always enjoy hearing from you.
So, Mike, you can say you're going to get 8 to 10 major league quality players in trading Cease and Robert. Are you going to do it at this point? Are you just throwing your hands up and saying, you know what? The quickest way for us as an organization to come back is by astutely trading these two guys.
I mean, and this is where I'm at, because with Cease, you have the 2 years of cost control that is extremely valuable on the market. You know you're going to get a haul. For Cease, you also know that you're not going to re-sign him to a big money deal, because when have the White Sox ever signed a pitcher to a big money free agent deal? You're not going to extend him. You're not going
Boris
to sign
client.
Him. You're not. So you already know. I mean, you know without knowing, right? To me, that is why you automatically move to trade Cease. Robert, with the 4 years of control through his prime, I'm keeping Luis Robert. I'm getting my haul for Dylan Cease, and I'm going to start rebuilding there. That's my plan.
Look, it's easy to go on the radio and talk about a trade where it sounds like pie in the sky. But with the White Sox front office being what it is right now, you have to consider all these things, okay? Because they went from being one of the top teams in the American League in 2021 to being a team that has to rebuild a whole farm system and have very little at the major league level to count on. So you have to be honest about where you're at, and you have to be honest about where you want to go and how quickly you want to do it.
100%. I agree with what you're saying, and it'll be an interesting offseason here, the last few months here, to see what the White Sox do with Cease.
We have people to thank. Tyler, great job of producing the show. Fantastic. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, Mark Leiter of the Chicago Cubs. People can follow me on Twitter, MLB Bruce Levine. On our website, writing Cubs and Sox, 670thescore.com. Mike, Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners out there. Look forward to talking to you again in 2024.
Absolutely. Appreciate being here, Bruce. Again, thanks to Tyler Farengold for producing. Happy New Year to everyone out there in Inside the Clubhouse and Score listener land. And coming up next, Saturday Suckage. The one and only Steve Rosenblum will join you. He will bring you down like nobody else, but you'll want to stick around and enjoy that. That's coming up next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.